Hello. Hello, everyone. I'm Katie Knight, and welcome to season 5 of Can You Put Me on Guest List? I hope everybody is well and have had an amazing summer. I am buzzing to be launching this season. This podcast was launched in 2016 with the aim to find out more about not just some of the most talented artists in dance music, but also some of the incredible people that work behind the scenes to build and grow careers, brands, festivals, events, record labels, basically all of those people that you would probably ask guest list for. They're the people, they're the guests that I have on the show to dig deep into their career, their journey, and all of the stories that they've made along the way. So first up this season is Leticia Van Riel. Leticia is the owner of LVR Management, where she currently manages the careers of headline artists Anna, Sama Abduhadi, and Victor Ruiz. Leticia has also launched LVR Mentoring Program for Artists, where she mentors and guides upcoming DJs on how to get their music signed to labels, increase their visibility, reach out to promoters, get gigs, network, and everything an artist needs to know to go from being a bedroom DJ to becoming a headliner. Leticia is one of those people that whenever you see her always puts a smile on your face. She's so hardworking, like such a hard worker. And I've wanted to have her on the podcast for such a long time. We've known each other for quite a few years now, and we bump into each other a couple of times every year at different festivals or events, and she's always smashing it. So I'm so happy to have her on the show and so glad that we finally made this happen. So let's get into it. This is Leticia Van Riel here on Can You Put Me on Guest List. Oh, you look like you have a really nice tan and a nice glow.
Okay, there we go. That's what we want.
Where are you? In Portugal?
I'm in Lisbon. Yeah, I moved to Lisbon now. Yeah, I'm living here. I moved, I think, exactly a year ago. Yeah.
Really? Do you like it?
In the beginning, I really struggled. I'm just going to put my phone on stop. Oh, yeah. Because WhatsApp is insane. In the beginning, I really struggled. I really did. But now I'm really getting into it. Barcelona is just such a nice, it's such an easy city. You know,
I know.
You lived there for a bit, right?
I think I lived there. What years were you there? Because I think there was a time where we were both there at the same time.
There was a time. That's where I met you.
Yeah, that is.
That Hector's birthday lunch.
What year would that have been? Like 2016?
16. Yeah. Wow. Long time ago.
Time goes so quickly.
Wait, let me say how much I love your What's Happening in Ibiza Today in 60 Seconds. When you started that, I was like, let's see how long this lasts.
Everybody said that.
And when you weren't going to show up or something like this, but you always showed up. Well done. No, it was really good. I really loved those.
Thank you. I hated myself plenty of times doing that. Like, there were so many times I'd wake up and I'm like, why did I start this?
No. Creating content for social media. I mean, we'll get into it later, but yeah, with my mentoring, I know what you mean. It's really a lot.
It's really overwhelming. It's like, it's a lot to think about. I mean, once you get into it, and I was doing it every day, then I was finding it like a little bit easier. And I just got to the point, because I think at the beginning I was always like, okay, I'm just gonna make sure that I actually look presentable, my hair's okay.
Oh, this is the thing. It's like, no, I don't look good today. I'm not doing this today, you know? But you didn't have a choice. You had to do it.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't care if I haven't slept, if I'm like have the craziest hangover, if I just look like absolute shit, I'm just gonna do it anyway. So
you look great. Yeah.
Thank you. So how are you? How's your summer been? Because you're just nonstop.
Yeah, it's been nonstop this summer. I have I spent a lot of time in Spain, in Barcelona. Actually, it all began at Sonar. Like, I'll start straight away.
Yeah.
What happened? So earlier this year, I had a burnout, I was just like at the edge, and I was just like, I need a timeout. So I literally in like 3 days, I told everyone at the company, I'm like, and it's funny because, you know, when you work with this, you never have a holiday. You're just always online, you know? Mm-hmm. So So for me to make a decision to really kind of, you know, I'm going to like step away from this and look after my mental health was like scary, but it was the best thing I could have done because I took a month off and I went to, you know, a retreat and I was really looking after myself. And I realized that I had forgotten what I loved about this industry. You know what I mean? It kind of became a business and you're just working, working, working. And I was like, you know, I work in like a party industry. Like I need to go and feel this again and fall in love with it again. So I was like, you know, whilst I was in my retreat, I was like, I'm going to go to Sonar. I didn't have any artists playing. They were all touring everywhere else, but I had this, you know, opportunity to actually go and enjoy it. So that's where it all began. My summer began at Sonar and I had the best time. Honestly, I was like stomping until the early hours of the morning.
Amazing. Also, is it strange going to a festival and event now when you don't have any artists playing?
Yes, because, you know, it's true that we're always backstage, right? We're always there. But this time I was like, no, I'm going on the dance floor. So I was like on the dance floor watching. I even get goosebumps talking about it now because it was such a, I even brought my Sonar glass back, something that I did when I was like 20 something. I was like, no, I'm bringing it back.
This is a moment. Yeah.
Yes, I had such a good time. And from then onwards, I really felt like, okay, I want to be back out there touring, you know, really going to watch my artists play because, like I said, we spend a lot of time behind the computer. You know, people think it's like glamour, but I'm actually here in the office, like every day, just meetings, ta ta ta. So yeah, so then I made this decision. So I had a really good summer. I've been to Ibiza a lot, you know, Barcelona. Then we went to a lot of festivals, Tomorrowland, boom, blah blah blah. So it's been a really good summer. It's been good for the soul.
Amazing. That's so good. Yeah. I totally understand you though that. It's so hard to sometimes remember that we have to put ourselves first and take these breaks because it's so true. This industry is just full on nonstop all the time. Non-stop. And I think sometimes, again, people think, oh, wow, you live like in this party world, you do this and do that. But there's so much more behind it, which is actually one of the reasons why I started this podcast, because I was like, the amount of people that used to say to me, oh, you have such a glamorous job and you do this, you do that. And I'm like, yeah, but do you know the amount of things, the amount of people, the amount of things that you have to give up? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of perks to it and there is a really great side to it. But there is a side where I saw so many people in this industry reach burnout, and more every single time I speak to somebody, you learn somebody new or somebody different that has reached burnout. And
we're always online, and then like weekends we're, you know, out networking, blah blah blah. It just doesn't stop, you know.
No.
And I think the multitasking situation, it goes on with my job as a manager. There's so much like, and WhatsApp is insane. You know, it's like, it's always, and you're always on. And it's quite stressful moments that your artists go through with touring and projects. And, you know, I think there is this thing in this industry that, like, we didn't study this. And then there was sort of like, you know, it's a bit of a mess.
It is.
So I think this mess gets to you eventually, especially when you've been doing it. I think a lot of people, I feel that there is that in the beginning of your career, you have to push through this really difficult part to get through to the other side. And then when you get through to the other side, there is this like, there's only a few of us, you know?
I
feel like it's a small industry. I don't know. It's all like a family. We all see each other out, and you know, to have made it through to this other side and always be on, it's pretty exhausting, but we love it.
I know, that's the thing. I wouldn't change it for the world, but I totally understand where you're coming from. And just talking about obviously being online all the time, how do you do it in terms of, do you have all of your artists in the same time zone, or is everybody everywhere?
Luckily, I do. Now I do. Yeah, I have Sama Abdulhadi, who is based in Paris. I have Anna and Victor, who are now also based in Lisbon, you know. So, you know, yeah, thank God. I went to Brazil for a little while last year, and I was, you know, on 6 hours back, or it was 5 hours. Depends, because I was with, anyways, it was quite a while back. And I would wake up and my phone would be like full of messages. And I was thinking of moving back to Brazil, and I thought, I can't, because I wake up every day with this anxiety. And I was like, no, yeah. So like you said, being on the same time zone really helps.
Yeah. How do you break up your time between three of them, or is just every single day different?
Every single day different. And I heard about this thing about putting times, on your calendar, and everyone, people who work with me are like, Letícia, you have to do this. I cannot. Hopefully one day I will manage to do it. Maybe my life I'll be like, why didn't I do this before? But right now I take care of everyone all the time, every day. All the different projects we have going on, I have help, I have someone who helps me on the day-to-day management of
Okay.
artists. Then I have an assistant as well. And then I have from a mentoring program that we'll get into it later. I have someone who helps me with that. So there is help.
And you've got quite a big team around you.
Yeah, we have a little team. Yeah, it's nice. And then some of the artists I also co-manage. So, there is like
Okay.
Hadi, I co-manage with Ben Turner, and he also helps with Anna. So
Nice.
yeah, so there is a team.
There's a team.
Yeah, I right now I'm really focusing on my mentoring program, which we'll get into in a bit. But once I'm done with that, I really hope to grow even more. Yeah, that's the
So was Anna your first artist to manage?
she was
And
it
how did that come about? Take
so
us
I was
back to the
an
beginnings.
eight. Take you back right to the beginning, all the way in the beginning, or
Well, yeah, no, it's nice that it would be nice to hear like where you started out and how that got to your first role in management with Anna.
So I did my university in London. Then I was living in London, partying in London, going to festivals in the UK. I was a proper raver. I loved it. And I used to do events like, little parties here and there, helping people set up parties. And I was like, oh, I'll just put the two and two together. And I went and applied for a job as an events with this company called MN2S in London, which is an agency. And they said, well, the job is taken, but you can become an intern in the agency. And I did. And from there, I became like, I was doing logistics. And then I grew to like the assistant. And then I became a junior agent, and I was like representing like Technotronic and Snap, and a lot of like live PAs. They're the singers that sing on top of the like a lot of David Guetta's tracks, and so I was representing them, and that was amazing. That was a big school, because my boss at the time, he was like relentless. Like he was so like salesy and everything. I learned a lot. And then I moved to IMD with Rachel Birchwood, and there I was representing a lot of like EDM artists, because the sound really moved to EDM at that time. And there was an artist in the agency, I didn't represent him, but Pleasurecraft, and he said, yeah, and he said to me, oh, you should check out this Brazilian girl. I'm releasing an EP from her on my label. So I did. And at that time, there was no Instagram. I mean, there was, but it was really at the beginning,
Okay, so what year are we talking about here?
God, I'm really bad with these things about years. So this is a difficult question for me. I should check this, but wow. I mean, we met in Barcelona. It was like 2012, 2014, maybe. Yeah. 2014, 2015. And I mean, I think that was Instagram, but it was really at the beginning, It was, so like now, if you want to check out an artist, the first thing you do is go to their Instagram. Whereas, at that time it was like YouTube. So I saw her playing with vinyls. I liked the track, and I approached her and became her agent. She was living in Brazil at the time. She was like doing some gigs here and there. And then I would call my closest promoters and be like, come on, take a chance on this girl. She's like amazing, I promise you. And like, my closest friend's promoter, because in this industry, we're all kind of, you all know each other. And yeah, some of them took a risk, and they were happy with it. So things, yeah. So I would bring her from Brazil. She would sleep like in my couch in London for a month. I remember I had a little green Renault Clio. I would go and pick her up and I would drive her to like Bristol and we would drive around. And you know, it's really amazing to think back to those days when an artist is just starting, because like you really feel like every time we, like I remember when we got our first interview and I was like, yes, we got an interview. It was just such a beautiful moment, you know.
Amazing.
But things were working out really well with me and her and our, you know, relationship and, you know, the gigs I was getting her. So eventually, you know, we said, hey, how about I become your manager? I hadn't done management before, you know, but I was really focused on making this work for her as an artist. So then I remember she used to get so angry at me because I would be like backstage being like, oh, no, I'm just like, really, like, come on. And yeah, it's been a journey. I think we've been working together now for like 8, 9 years. So
Wow.
great. Yeah.
So were you her agent and manager at the same time then?
Yeah, for a while I was her agent and manager. And then I moved from London to Barcelona. I moved to B4 Bookings. I was
Yes.
all agent mainly for a lot of artists. And then I had Anna as my little side project, you
Yeah.
know. Which I think I really think that doing both really helps, you know, because you really know what's going on with the artist. So you're picking up the phone, you're calling in a way that it's like, you know, you're
Yeah.
giving extra sort of love. So yeah, so then I moved to Barcelona, and then there came a time, you know, being an agent is very difficult because you are looking after about 12 artists, and you obviously have your big artists that you're getting a lot of, you know, incoming emails and requests for. But like trying to make the little artist work, it's really hard work. And like I'm quite sensitive, you know. So I would go to sleep at night thinking, oh fuck, so and so doesn't have any gigs this weekend, or so and so, you know, and it would really get to me. And I saw that things were really going well with Anna, and I decided to just take the leap. And I quit being an agent and I just focused on her management. And then I passed it on. Her, you know, man, agency stuff to another agent to take care of it. Yeah. And that's how it started.
And that's how,
LV
wow. And
management.
how did you find the transition from working with an agency to all of a sudden working by yourself? Because obviously you're surrounded by so many people, offices, and then all of a sudden it's just you. Was that a big thing for you?
You know, I remember clearly, like when I was, I think I left right just before AD, and yeah, so the year before I went to AD, I was staying in this 5-star hotel, like amazing, you know, like it was like super pampered. Then I went by myself and I was staying in this like shared house with like bunk beds, and I was sharing it with like 6 people, and I was like eating. Anna still laughs at this because I was eating like cheese sandwiches for like a whole week, and it was like, yeah, it was. And I remember being like, oh my God, they're feeling quite lonely, you know. There was a moment
Yeah.
of like, you know, but very, very quickly, I realized I had done the right thing. You know, at that ADE, I realized that people were interested in my product, you know, in Anna.
Yeah.
So I realized like, it's okay, it's going to work out. And it did, you know. For I had LVR management for about a year and a half before COVID hit. So, you know, yeah, things were really taking off. And then, yeah, COVID hit. But in between, I took on another artist called Wibba. So I was his manager for a while, and he was super talented producer and everything. And it was yeah, so that, you know, was an exciting project as well. And then just before COVID hit, I took on Victor Ruiz like 3 months before, and then COVID
Oh
hit. I
no.
know, I know. And then
God.
I took on Sama Abdul Hadi like 9 months before. So yeah, it was happening, and then it all went itself.
Ah, but you're all still together. They're all still with you through COVID and they're in amazing.
Everyone. Yeah. We all made it work during COVID, right? So we had
Yeah.
to. And it was during COVID that we launched like the production masterclass from Anna Wei, like
Oh.
Anna Weber. And production masterclass from Victor Huiz,
And
which
so you did that launch with them.
Yes, and we had no idea what we were doing. It was really funny because we found out that Brazilians and Americans are really ahead in terms of like selling courses online, you know? So
Right,
there were,
interesting.
yeah, very interesting because we found a lot of courses about how to sell courses. So we were like, I literally was like studying the stuff, and you know, I found it quite boring. And you know, Jessica, who works with me, she found it really interesting. So I was like, okay, you go ahead and you learn
Perfect.
how to do this, you know, and I will focus on, you know, strategy and everything. But I remember when we launched, we didn't even have a database of contacts to send it to. It was just kind of like, here's a course, like you have
Yeah.
it, you know. But they were such good products that it did really well. And we learned so much along the way. And you
And
know,
they,
now is yeah. Now I have
and
like,
I,
yeah.
no, I was just going to say, and I bet that's helped you now as well, launch your mentoring program.
Yeah, I realized whilst they were doing the production masterclass that there wasn't anything to then talk about because they said to me, hey, why don't you do a part of the course, you as a manager and the things, and that's when I realized I was like, hey, you know, there is nothing out there for people who you can learn how to produce, but then you have to learn the business side, you know, like you there is so much that goes on behind the scenes that a lot of these artists are super alone in this journey, you know? So I decided there and then that I was gonna, yeah, create this mentoring program, which is the LVR mentoring program for artists. It's a bit long. yeah, on it, I teach, you know, everything about, you know, deals, how to contact agents, how to deal with managers, how to deal with promoters, how, you know, contracts work, how social media works, how labels work, like just give you a proper insight for 3 months about all of this. And I also invite a lot of special guests to come and talk, and you know, agents, promoters, label, sorry, A&R, like social media managers, everything. So, you know, I'm
Amazing.
very, very proud of, you know, this, what we've created, because I know that we're helping people, and it creates a really nice relationship, which is what I said before. Like in the beginning of an artist's career, you really feel those moments of like, yes, you know, you made
Yeah.
it, you know, like you did this. So to get that feeling with a mentee feels really good. So yeah,
I
it's
can
been a
imagine.
journey.
I can
It's been
imagine. I
a
think the really lovely thing about this as well, coming from you, is kind of just circling back to what you were saying before, is having played both roles as both a manager and an agent, you've kind of seen both different sides, which inside both of them roles, there's so many different other smaller parts to play as well. So it, you've kind of seen different artists and grown different artists from two different perspectives, which
Yes.
makes your mentoring program and what you can teach people so much wider than somebody that maybe has just done management or just done just been an agent, right?
Exactly. And that's and like having special guests as well come and talk about their roles and give their insights, you know, what they expect from an up-and-coming artist or any tips because they don't know anything. You know, I divide into my mentoring into like the more advanced group and the more like, you know, up and coming. But I notice even the advanced, they still have so much to learn, you know? So they,
Really?
yes, there is so much, you know, how deals are done, how much they can ask for, you know, how to approach a record label. Like they're just sitting there in their studio making music and kind of like
Now
hoping,
what?
yeah, now what, you know? And
What's
so,
it, do you think that people are looking to learn more about the most? Is there like one specific topic or lesson that is like people are most interested in when you do the program?
you know, social media is a huge, huge topic because, you know, it's very hard. It's, you know, I recently wrote a manifesto, which I posted on my Instagram. And, you know, it says like, you're an artist, not a marketing kit, you know, and to be able to kind of, you have to wear so many hats and to be like, create content, and especially when you're not touring, you know, a lot of the artists headliners are posting, you know, the gig, you know, the videos after the gig, but these guys don't have much to post about, so they're like, what the fuck do I create, you know? So social media is a huge sore point for a lot of them. So that's why I bring a social media manager to really give insights, you know, how to grow and stuff like this. So
Yeah, that's kind of what we're saying at the beginning
yeah.
of this podcast, like creating content. I love the videos that you do, by the way. They're
Oh
really great. They're really, really
yeah.
great. Yeah, they're
Oh, I'm
great.
glad you like it. I'm glad you like it. Yeah, I have to do a lot of them. I actually have to do a lot of them today. So yeah, I'm trying to give free content so that people can, you know, learn a little bit and understand who I am as well, you know, kind of show the human side.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people think I'm very serious. I hear a lot out there, and I'm like, guys, I'm not. I'm okay.
Do people say that really?
I've been hearing that a lot this summer. I'm like, no. So I'm trying to portray, I don't know if it's coming across that I'm not that
Oh,
serious.
you're lovely and bubbly. I don't think so.
But I want to, yeah, I just want to give some free content, you know, for people who cannot afford to learn, you know, to invest on something at the moment. There is some stuff out there for you to
Yeah.
focus on. And it's funny because I see the amount of saves there are on the post, and it's huge, you know, like.
Interesting.
It's massive because people are like, oh, okay, some content, like I'll come back to that, you
Yeah,
know, like
absolutely.
what does this
And
person have to say?
definitely with the amount of artists that are out there, upcoming artists or artists that are just starting out, that obviously when you start out, you don't have an agent and you don't have a manager. So any content like that is like perfect, you know.
No, and I'm actually doing a free event on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of October for like, yeah, it's going to be, I don't know, probably 2 hours each day. It's free. So if anyone wants to join, they're most welcome to join. And it's yeah, it's where I'm going to be talking about like the different things that you should be focusing on the in the industry. So yeah,
Perfect.
it's
We'll
join.
add a link to the comments in this podcast for anybody that's interested in doing that. But just circling back to that, talking about people that don't have agents or managers, do you often get asked if artists should have an agent or a manager first? And when do you think is the right time to take that step in looking for somebody to help you grow your career?
I get asked that question a lot, and a lot of people think I need to get an agent because then my life will change. You know, like that's the answer to everything. Of course, having an agent will help you, but you need to have stuff to give your agent to sell,
Yeah.
you know? So there is a timing, and it's very hard for me to actually put a word to what that timing is, but you will feel that there is a little bit of demand that you're playing, let's say, three, like 4 gigs a month, and you know, and you're talking to the right people, like the right, like artists are playing your music, and you know, you're playing a warm-up set before certain artists. You will feel it. You will know when the time is right. You will also know when you're desperate because the time is not right. Do you see what I mean? And like, so if you're in that moment, like, oh, I need an agent, it's going to change everything. That's not the time.
What
Because
a great way to look at it.
do you see what I mean? Because
Yeah.
there is a demand, and there are so many DJs out there, and there's just so many parties. So if you're a small fish in a big pond, which I mean by a big agency, trust me, there are not enough agents in our industry. There is a lack. And by the way, guys, if you're looking for a job in this industry, I really say please apply yourself into becoming an agent if you're good with sales and you know you're good with networking, because I really think there is a lack out there of agents at the moment, and there is a lot of DJs. So if you're part of a big agency and you're a small artist, you end up falling through the cracks. So that's why I always say in my mentoring, you have to become very close to your agent. You really have to become friends with them. You have to have weekly meetings. You have to go out for lunch. You have to meet them because you need to become a priority for them, you know, because they're representing like 14 artists sometimes. And there's not enough hours in the day for you to be able to push that many artists, you know. So sorry, I didn't answer your question. What comes first, agent or manager? You know, I also believe that if you have a friend or someone who wants to you know, who really believes in you and who is like willing to like knock on some doors and try and represent you. It doesn't have to be, again, a big management company. I was not a big management company. You know, I was someone that just really believed in someone.
Yeah.
So I think that that's the most important thing. Having someone that really has your back and really believes in you as an artist and is willing to go out there, send emails, because you're going to send a lot of emails and not get any replies. And, you know, really, really, I remember once being with Anna at Sonar, outside this backstage. I wasn't in the guest list. I was like waiting by the door because I really wanted her to meet this agent. And I stood there for 4 hours with her. And she was like, Leticia, can we please go? I was like, no, you're going to meet this guy because he needs to meet you. We need to, you know, and I was like, no. So that's the kind of thing you need. And by the way, I didn't take her on. And then years later came knocking on my door to take her on. So there you
go. I just got goosebumps when you said that. I love that story.
Yeah. So you need to, you know, have someone that really believes in you. Like, and it doesn't have to be a big management company. It has to be someone that likes to network, you know, because you need to be out there like hustling to make stuff happen for an artist. So listen, if you have an agent first or a manager first, it doesn't matter. Either yeah. one needs to help your career. It's yeah. going to help your career.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Super interesting what you said though about there's not many agents in the industry. Do you think that is because there's just becoming more and more DJs, or is it because agents are moving into other areas, or I don't know, has it always been like that?
You know, in the beginning, when you're an agent at the start, agents work on commission, right?
Yeah.
They have like a very basic, and then it's just commission. And when you're part of an agency, they give you the smaller artists. So in the beginning, you're really struggling for money.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to tell you how much I was making at the start of my career. It was a joke, you know, and it's really, really tough. So I think this makes it a lot more difficult for people to stick to it. You know, like to really stick to it and to really push, which is what I was saying before, through that first, you know, a lot of people get taken out in that first batch, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it might have something to do with that because I don't understand. I think there was always been a lot of DJs. Everyone wants to be a DJ. There are so many
DJs. So many, yeah.
But it's always been like this, you know? When I say I work with electronic music, everyone is a DJ. You know, my cousin, my sister,
yeah.
my cat, my dog, everyone. So I don't think that's the problem. I think it's just, it's very tough to push through and, you know, to find that one artist that is going to, that you're going to stick with together and, you know, that's going to pay the bill, so to say, you know. So I think.
What do you think has been the most difficult part of your career so far?
I think it was the burnout. I think like, you know, making like just working too much and realizing that, you know, but it was the most difficult yet the most, I don't know how, I can't find the word, like it changed things for me, you know what
yeah.
I mean? But it was difficult. It was a very difficult time because, you know, I didn't know if I wanted to do this again. You know, I was angry. I was, yeah, just tired of it, you know? So I think, figuring that out was difficult and kind of stepping away was difficult because I felt like a failure, you know, to let go, you know, to walk away from my computer. But I very quickly realized that that's what I needed. So that was, I think that was the most difficult part. I also had a very difficult situation in London, but it was, you know, it didn't work out in a company that I was working with. And that was a very big learning curve, but then someone else gave me an opportunity. And that's when I moved to Barcelona. And then I realized that that was also a very redeeming moment because a year later, Anna won the Breakthrough DJ Award. And
amazing.
This person that I had a difficult time with was there and kind of saw that moment happen. And I felt quite good about it.
Love that. I love that.
No, but it's all good now.
Good. I think sometimes with burnouts, you kind of, as bad as it sounds, sometimes hitting rock bottom actually makes you rise and grow even more.
Yes,
because you kind of get to the bottom and then like once you're out of that, see.
It actually, you know, I was, when I came back from burnout, I was you know, about to take on a new artist, and great, great girl, you know, super potential. I know she's going to make it and everything. But I realized that I needed time. I needed more time in my day to focus on what I had, you know, like it's too much going on. And then I decided not to take this artist on because I decided to make more time for myself and for the artist that I have, you know? Yeah. So there is always going to be someone out there, you know, if yeah. it's not now, I need, then there will be in a few months, you know, yeah. So it's okay. And making peace with that has been extremely satisfying for me. Yeah.
Amazing. If you could choose three career highlights, which would they be?
Very recently I went to Boom Festival and I had, Victor Ruiz playing there, and it really stuck with me because, you know, I love when he's playing. And at that moment, I was on the dance floor watching him. Like, he really wanted to play that festival and he smashed it. I get goosebumps thinking about it. And it was really beautiful to experience that. To, you know, I feel really proud. You know, it's like, wow, I feel so proud of him right now. So that was a recent highlight. Another highlight was when I was asked by Ben Turner, who is another manager in the scene, to co-manage Sama Abdul Hadi with him, because I think, you know, when he showed me the video, we had a meeting, he showed me the video, I was like, of Boiler Room. I don't know if you guys haven't seen the Boiler Room of Sama.
Yes.
Go and watch it because it's beautiful. So when he asked me to do that, I was like, yes, please, yes. So that was another moment. And also, like, everything that Anna and I have achieved together, like, I cannot put a moment in that, but it's been like, it makes me very proud, the work that we've done to get to where we are today. And, you know, her touring the world, and, you know, she's from a very small town in Brazil, you know, and I know the part that I've taken in her now being where she is, you know, and that makes me very proud. So yeah, those are my highlights.
You should be really, really proud of yourself, yeah, because yeah. you are absolutely smashing it. And yeah. every time, I know we probably see each other or bump into each other somewhere a couple of times yeah. a year.
But last every time was in Saudi.
Yes. Yeah, because I was going to say, was it in Monegros? Because I saw you at Monegros Festival, didn't I, as well?
No, the year before.
Yes, that was the year before.
Yeah.
And then in Saudi, yeah.
Yeah, for XP, yeah.
The XP conference, yeah. Nice. I like it. That's one thing I just love about this industry is you just bump into people. As you said before, it's a really big industry, but then there is a real, like, small community at the same time.
Yeah. Yes.
And bumping into familiar faces in the most random, not so random, because at the end of the day, we're going to work and you bump into people at these places. But when you see a familiar face or people that you haven't seen, it's just, I don't know, it's just such a nice feeling.
I say it's like a school reunion. ADE for me is like school reunion. Everyone is coming together and we're, you know you're who you're going to see. And it's so nice to walk in and just, you know, hey. Yeah,
I know. AD is my favorite time of the year. I love it.
You're coming, yeah?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll be there. Yeah, I'm super excited. Thanks. And just to finish, I ask everybody the same question at the end of the podcast, because the podcast is called Can You Put Me on Guest List? Yeah. Do you have a guest list rule?
Honestly, when people ask me for guest list, I think you have to be humble. And I don't mind, you know, when people are like, posting about the fact that, oh, I haven't heard from you in 1 year and you're suddenly messaging me. I don't care about that. Like, you know, I'm like, okay, fine to message me. But the way you do it, it depends on the tone of your message. I think you have to be humble. And I think if you, you know, you ask for yourself and then you say, can I have a little cheeky plus one? And if not, that those are my rules. Be humble, be nice, be, you know, gentle, and only one plus one. Don't send me a list. don't expect, you know, it's that for me does
it. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I wanted to have you on the podcast for such a long time.
We've been meaning to do this for a while. We did it.
And it's so nice. I mean, obviously I follow all your work and we've known each other for quite a few years now, but it's nice to really learn more about your journey and highlights and yeah, and I'm
really, really, really happy and proud to have you on the show. So thank you so much.
And thanks for creating this platform for having people here. I think that's super good, like super interesting to hear other people in the industry. I love it. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. And we will post some more information about your mentoring course on the link, the description of this podcast. And I will see you in Amsterdam.
See you soon.
See you soon.